Appreciate each one that's here this morning.
Yes, amen.
I guarantee you, I'm glad to be here versus at home. We've got wintry weather up there, and we've got gorgeous weather down here. It's just mighty fine to be right here. I appreciate what the Lord does. I love about 75 to 80 degrees, sunshine, and a light breeze, so this fits me perfect. We need your prayers this morning. We have a burden. Had a burden for several days, praying over it. And I want you to tell you that when I preached what I preached the other day, I had no idea I would have this next. Now, sometimes you go into a meeting or a revival, you might have some things on your heart and mind. But in this case, I had no idea this would be next. This will dovetail, I guess you could call it, right in with what I preached the other day, only a whole different angle, but the basic thought of it is the same. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32, please. 32 at about 29. 32 and 29. This will be my text. Again, we desire your prayers. Well, let's back up a little bit here. 32:28. Oh, they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now, this chalkboard hadn't got much use. That says, consider thy latter end. And what consider means this morning is to meditate upon, to view or observe, to remember. It means to reflect upon carefully, to be of opinion, to deliberate seriously. Considerable means worthy of attention. Considered means carefully thought out. So I preached on these, think on these things the other day. But this morning I want us to do some thinking. I want us to go back and look. If you was to take 100 people, and you take them and they're all born and they start out in life, every one of them would be different. Everything about them, they'd all take different routes. Now they might end up being two firemen or two policemen or a doctor or two or a lawyer or whatever. But when you angle it all down, every one of them will be different. All their training, their home life, everything about them is different, and they're going to come down to a different end per se. All of them will be different. And if you look at them, consider them and weigh them out. Have you ever looked at somebody and shook your head at their end? You thought, I really wish they hadn't ended this way. It could have been different. It could have been better. It could have been blessed. Well, let's put God and the devil in there now. When a person comes to the age of accountability, what happens? The Lord and the devil starts working with that person. God begins to call, come unto me, give me your heart. I want to lead you, I want to guide you, I want to bless you. The devil's saying, you know, come to me, I want. And he starts deceiving, he starts blinding, he starts doing everything he can do to get a person to follow him. And the bulk, according to the Scripture, the bulk of the multitude follow the downward road, follow the way of the enemy. But folks, it can be better than that. It can be a blessed way. It can be a happy life. But most people go the wrong way. That's the reason when you get down to the end and you look at their latter end, it's not a very pretty picture. You've seen the destruction. You've seen the pain. You've seen the sorrow. You've seen the hurt over and over and over. But the thing of it is this morning, you and I don't want to end up in the wrong place. We don't want to end up with the wrong life. We don't want to end up with all that pain. We want to have a blessed way. We want to have a latter end that is blessed by the power of God. It is so precious to go to a saint's funeral and reflect upon their lives and look at it, and it's been blessed for years and years. Somebody was mentioned to me here in this, well, matter of fact, a couple of people out of Guthrie, Oklahoma. I didn't know the one, knew the other. And the one of them was a saint that was well thought of, loved. He was a farmer. He'd done everything he could do for the church. He gave a whole crop one time. He told his wife, said, I'm going to give the whole amount of this crop to the new building project that was on the old place, the old addition over there, back there. That was before my time. And I'm going to give this. He said that crop done better, I believe, than any other he ever had in that particular field. The Lord blessed it, see. Now then, consider thy latter end. Have you considered where you're going? Have you carefully thought about what will happen to you down the road? What will be the end result of what you're doing now? Some people say, well, I can do a little of this, so I'll be all right. There's a lot of people want to go to the gambling halls and do a little gambling here, a little gambling there, and I'll be all right. But listen, folks, I pass them things about all hours of the night. There's cars out there, and those people are addicted to that thing, and they spend hours and hours. They spend all their money. Their wife's home and hungry. The children's home hungry. And they've blown everything in a gambling machine or a gambling parlor. I've got one within, 4 miles of my house, south of me. There was one 500-600 feet from the chapel in Shawnee. Well, it's still there. The Casino Grand just down the I-40. They're all over the place in that area. But those things, a man, a businessman in Shawnee told me, he said, listen, a lawyer told him, said, if you knew what these things were doing to Shawnee, we don't really know. But I got news for you, the latter end of that is not pretty. The latter end of that is not pretty. They built that thing on education, giving to education. We're going to give so much. Well, one person told me, he said, when you enter the door one place, those places they have right in the front, we've given so many million to education. But the problem of it is, Oklahoma's one of the lowest points in the whole nation of what we give as far as the money and everything. We're ranking about 49th in the whole country. Something's wrong, folks. Something is wrong somewhere, and I don't know where it is because I'm not there. But the bottom line is, I want you to seriously, I want you to think about this morning. I want you to carefully think out the things that you're doing now. Where will they end you? What will be the latter end? Well, I can't think that far. You better start thinking, folks. Some people do a little social drinking and I'll be all right. No, you won't. One man was sitting on a porch over here looking at the guy over there, and the one was drinking beers over here, and he said, the guy looking at him over there, he said, I wonder what's going to happen. That guy was already an alcoholic over here and he was starting to drinking over here. And many people started out with a few beers and they ended up being alcoholic. They started smoking a little bit here and there and they ended up smoking the rest of their life. They ended up doing a little bit of gambling, a little bit of marijuana smoking, a touch of a little bit of meth, and those kind of things got them and they ended up with a sad latter end. You don't have to go to 50 years. You don't have to go to 60 years to have a sad latter end. There's thousands upon thousands of people out there today that is younger, much younger than I am, and their sad latter ends is in their 30s and in their 40s and maybe their early 50s, and they've got a bad latter end because they didn't do what Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. I want you, child. I was looking at something that I have in the camper this morning, and it has on there great value. And I've never thought about this in my life, but the Walton family has made a very great amount of money. They're some of the richest people in the world off of getting us great value. We flock to that thing like nobody's business. We beat a path to Walmart stores all over the nation. And I'd stay out of it too. I'd died in Puerto Rico a little while back. There's Walmarts right down there in Puerto Rico. They were in Alaska where I was. They're in every state. Many of them. There's several of them sometimes in a whole town. And they have made people beat a path to their door. You know, God wants great value too. He wants great value out of you and I. He can take you and I and make something where that will be a value to mankind. We won't be a detriment to the state. There is alcoholism. There is the marijuana smoke and all that, the drug. And there's the gambling. That's a great detriment to the government of this country. It does great bad things to the body and to the mind and the heart. God wants to take that and make something better out of it. He wants to make you valuable to mankind. He wants to make you a great value to mankind, whereby you and I can go out there and they can look at us and they can say, praise God, there's somebody that's doing something right for a change. Doing something right. Telling somebody the other day, when I was in college, back in the early 70s, I was there, and of course there were women dressed in all kind of ways, and then one day I was walking down a hall and there's a woman there, a young lady had a long skirt on. I don't think she had long sleeves on, but she had a modest blouse, she had long hair, and you know what caught my attention? She did. All the rest of it's repulsive. The rest of it's sickening, so to speak. But there she was, a young lady that looked almost basically like a saint. I thought, only one on the whole college campus of maybe 7,000 or 8,000 people. And she come pop in. She got my attention. When you and I are dressing, when you and I are living, when you and I are doing right, it's great value to God and to mankind. Let's go to Haggai 1 and pray for me, please. Haggai 1 and 5. Well, no, let's back up a little bit. Let's go 1 and 3, I guess. Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now consider thus, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house, and I'll take pleasure in it. And I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house, that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Now God has always put, number one, Him and the work of God. And this is talking about rebuilding the temple. This is talking about the work of God. And God's saying, you're living in your sealed houses. You're doing what you want to do, and my house is laying waste. Things are not going, children, like I want it to go. It's time to change your ways. It's time to consider. You've got it made. You're putting a butt. You look at what's happening. You're sowing a lot. You're bringing in little. You eat. You have not enough. You drink. You're not filled. You clothe you, but there's none warm. Earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Listen, saints, today. We're all different ages in here. But what are you doing for God? What are we doing for the Lord? Oh, I don't want to hear it. Preacher, listen, folks. The thing that's going to count is what you and I are doing for God. what we're doing, what we're accomplishing, what we're being involved in. Some people want their easy life. And I'm not saying you can't have a nice home. I'm not saying you can't have money in the bank. But we need to put God and His work right on the top of the list. We need to put it where people know this person's serious about God. He's number one with Him. I want to do what God wants me to do. Listen, God will take and save and sanctify a person. He'll give them one calling, maybe two or maybe three. He'll give them gifts. He'll work with them and use them all the way down through life if they'll let them use Him. If they'll do that. But a lot of people today, no, I want to live it easy. I want money. I want this. I want that. Listen, folks, consider your wind. Consider your ways. Consider your thought pattern. We need to get busy for God. You don't have very much time left. I'm almost 63 years old. And if you consider 70 at the end of my life, I got 7 years to do something, Brother Michael. When I was 20, well, I started preaching, when I was 22? Yeah, I started when I was 22. I've been preaching 40 years now. And I look back, and I've got 7 years left. It's not much time, folks. I want to make every step carefully. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to go where God wants me to go. People say, well, you quit pastoring Shawnee, you got to move. I say, I'm following God. It's up to God what He wants to do. It's not my life. I give my life to Him and dedicate to Him years and years and years ago. Now it's up to Him. What about you? Listen, folks, you don't know how much time you've got left. You may be gone tomorrow. And the thing that's going to count and get down to the bottom of it, what are you doing for God? How are you helping for God? What are you working? Have you give yourself to Him? Have you sanctified or dedicated yourself and give yourself where God can take you? Well, I don't want to preach. It's not all preaching, folks. It's not all singing. It's not all pastoring or evangelizing. There's a lot of works. Everybody in here could do it. They'll do them. God wants to use His people. He can do it. He don't need us. God don't have to have us. He can do it all by Himself. But He uses mankind. And He wants to use you. And He wants to bless you. Consider your ways. Listen, folks, your time is running out. You don't know how much time you've got left. So consequently, this morning, I'm begging you, what are you doing for God? Have you done those steps? One time, there was a person sick in a congregation that I was pastoring at. And I went to her and talked to her. I said, do you know what your gifts are? Have you given yourself? I knew pretty well she had or thought she had, but I wanted to question her. I wanted to pin her down. And she looked at me and she said, yes, sir, I do. I thought she did. But she laying on what would have been her deathbed if God hadn't healed her one night, the prayers of the saints of God. And she's gone on and she's been a great blessing over and over and over and over to people. Oh, today, are you a blessing to people? Have you given your life to people? To God, I mean, have you given your life to the work of God? Are you interested in the things of God? Are you interested in the work of God? We need to make God a priority. We need to make going to meeting a priority. We need to make camp meeting a priority. Wednesday night and Sunday, that needs to be a priority. Listen, folks, today we're getting in a time where people are so flippant and loose and so forth. Listen, today we need to get to the place where God is a high priority in our life because we don't know how much longer we're going to have. We need to show other people. Consider your ways. You're doing all this, but it ain't amounting to a thing. What you're doing isn't amounting to anything. Is it helping anybody? Is it blessing anybody? Is it feeding anybody? Is it edifying anybody? Is it doing anybody any good? Consider your ways, the Lord said. I want to bless you. I want you to work for me. I want you to build my house. And you're off having a good time in your sealed houses. But on the bottom line, it's not amounting to much. You could have more. Amen. You could have more. That's what He's saying here. You could have more. You could have some real blessings if you do what I want you to do. My work is important, God's saying. You're saying it's not. My work needs to be done. You're saying, I don't care. Lord, help us today to get fired up and do what God wants us to do. And not just pitter-patter around the edges, but get out and swim in the deep water and do what God would have us to do. Praise God. People are not doing that. And it's a great grief to God. and of mankind. Let's go to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, please. Consider thy latter end. Where are you headed? What you doing? 1:1 of Isaiah says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Joham, Ahaziah, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, to the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth its owner, the ass its master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken anymore? You are revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." Now he said, my people does not consider. Today, saints, what are you doing? There's sometimes two standards, or a double standard as I call it. Sometimes people's got one set of clothes in the closet for one thing, another set for something else. They go to church dressed one way, they go to work dressed another way. They do things undercover that people don't even know. I was talking to an evangelist one time. I said, "Well, you don't have very many sinners out to meeting anymore." He said, "No." And see, it seemed like over the last number of years, I've watched this whole thing revolve and change. But he said, "Brother Carl, those messages that we preach are still needed, because there's things going on behind closed doors that you and I don't know about, and God does." And so consequently, he begins to hammer and hammer and hammer to let us know it's time to consider thy latter end. It's time to consider where we're going. Are we doing things undercover? Are we doing things behind closed doors? Are we doing things this morning that God's not pleased with? Is he able to smile? Are you pleased him? Are you blessed him? Are you glorifying him? Are you lifting him up? Are he shaking his head saying, "Listen, child, I want something better. You need to do different. You're not doing like I want you to do." It's time to move up a little bit. It's time to consider. Some people think about doing a certain thing for quite a while, and they go on and they go on and they go on and they go on, but they never do it. It's time to change. It's time to get to thinking real deep this morning. There's been too much said in this meeting about thoughts and thinking and changing, library of the mind. It's time for people to get on the ball. It's time to people. We don't know how much longer this time's going to last. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know how long you're going to have your right mind. You don't know how long you're going to be able to do something for somebody or the work of God. So consequently, if you're doing things, it's time to put out for the presence of God and get out into business, praise God. Consider your ways. My people does not consider. Are you just kind of rolling along, just happy as you can be? Not involved, not doing? Lord, help us. It's time to get busy. It's time to get down. Brother Dan said in a testimony the other night, "I wanted the presence of God." And then after he started considering about what the Lord was showing him, he said, "Well, I'll put it off." The Lord said, "Do you want my presence or you do not? What do you want, Brother Dan? What do you want, child?" Listen, folks, today, how bad do we want it? How bad do we want the glory? How bad do we want the blessing? How bad do we want the presence? How bad do we want to make heaven? Are we really willing to do what we need to do? That's what he's saying here. You guys are this, this, and this, and I want you to do different. I want you to change. It's time to button up. It's time to get out of the business. It's time to confess, forsake, change, repent, confess, whatever you need to do. It's time to do it, praise God. How much time do you have left? Consider thy latter end. What you're doing right now, where will it lead you? Why, just a little thing. It don't amount to very much. If you go on a vacation, if you plan you out a trip, would you put in that trip that there's going to be a bridge out? There was a bridge, part of a bridge knocked out on I-40 a number of years ago there in Oklahoma on Easter weekend, I think it was. And a barge hit it, or a big old boat hit it and knocked out a section, and car after car plunged into that. Several people died. Even a semi went off, if I remember right. Today, if you was on a trip and you knew that was there, would you consider plunging off the end? No, you would not do that. You wouldn't consider going into a fire if a fire was burning. You wouldn't do that. Listen, folks, consider there is a better way. Consider thy latter end. Consider where you're headed this morning. Because, dear ones, this morning, if you're going to go on the way you're going, what's going to happen? Where will it end? Oh, headed to a good spot, are you? The only way you're headed to a good spot when you're headed toward God. When you're headed closer to Him, when you're scratching and begging and pleading and considering and weighing, Lord, I want You above all other things. I want You. I want to dig down. I want You to bless me, Lord. I need Your help. Let's go to Hosea 7 and 3, please. Hosea 7 and 3. Consider thy latter end. Are you considering this morning the path you're taking? Where will it lead? There's a song. How's it go? Sin will take you further than you ever thought. I ain't getting that quite right. But anyway, in other words, sin will do what you didn't think it'd do. There have been multitudes of people that started off and said, well, I can do a little of this and I can do that and I'll be all right. And down the road it got bigger and bigger. The chain got bigger and bigger. The chain wrapped tighter and tighter. And when they got out several years down the road, they looked at it and it sure wasn't what they thought it'd be back up here. It changed. Consider. The devil don't want you to consider. He does not want you to think. He does not want you to move out and do what you need to do. He wants to tell you, don't go to that altar. Don't do this. Don't consecrate. Don't dedicate. Don't get saved. Don't do any of that. You don't want to do that. He works and works to hinder everybody he can, folks. But this morning, hell is real. Eternity is real. Some people say, well, God will never, Christ will never send me to hell. I wonder, Jesus worked with everybody from the time of the age of accountability. Really blesses us all the way from the time we start breathing to the time we die. He blesses you and I. And He starts dealing and working. But people get to the path of they want to go to the wrong way, to the left way, so to speak, and want to do their thing. And Jesus watches them. And He watches them. Now, folks, I could be wrong, but I don't think I'm off too much. Do you think that grieves God? Do you think that pains Christ? He wants you to go heaven worse than you do. And you, if a person starts venturing off, if they start drifting like was preached the other night, does that not pain Him? I believe it does. And then if it gets down to the end, and He has to say, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and angel. Do you think that hurts Him? I believe He turned to the Father and He said, I've done everything I can do, Father. That'd be painful to watch a person go to hell when you've done everything you could do to stop it. He works hard. He works. He labors. He calls. He begs. He pleads in the night hours, in the daytime hours, on the jobs, in the kitchens, in the cars, in the homes, on the planes, on the trains, on the buses, on the walkways, wherever you might be. One woman said, He spoke to her on a dance hall floor one night and said, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Oh, tonight, or today, the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to consider your ways. He wants you to think about where you're going, what you're doing. All right, 7th chapter of Hosea. And let's look here in Isaiah 7. Let's see 7 and 1. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, the wicked of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoil without. And they considered not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Oh, they make the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with all their lies. He said, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Listen, man's one thing, God's another. His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. He knows when you've done wrong. He knows when you're not doing what God wants you to do. He knows when you're on a drifting course. He knows all of these things. He don't forget this. He don't just sweep it in some kind of back room and forget about it. God keeps it in mind. He knows everything you're doing. He sees everything you're doing, every way you're going, every attitude you have. He sees all that. He knows all that. And said, they don't consider. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember. Listen, folks, He sees, knows, and He understands, but He's still begging you to change, to turn, to move, to do, to think about. Where are you going? What is your latter end? Oh, today, that I remember all their wickedness, now their own doings have beset them about. One day, we'll look at what's happened and probably moan and groan over it. Hurt. There is people that have gone on into deep sin, and sometimes, I dare say, and I never was there, but I'll say that one day they'll look at it and they'll regret what they've done. They'll think about what they've done. They'll consider what they've done. They'll angle it out and look it over, and they will probably throw their hands up and say, it's useless, there's no hope. But there is hope. There is a way. Oh, today, He said, I remember all their wickedness. The Lord knows what you're doing this morning. He knows where you're at. You and I are not fooling Him one bit. You and I don't have the wool pulled over His eyes, as one man told me. I can pull it over yours, he said, but I can't fool God. Listen, folks, we're not fooling God no matter what. Let's go to Job 23, please. Job 23. 23 and about 23 and 14 of Job. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him. Therefore I am troubled at His presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of Him. When I consider, it's time that there be a great awe for God. A great respect for God. Listen, folks, people, the devil wants to cover it over, so to speak, wants to put a film over to whatever. But the bottom line is, if you and I are not right with God, when we step out into eternity, we're out in His place then, and we can't run and hide. 50 and 22 of Psalms said this, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Oh, consider this, ye that forget God. This morning, have you forgot God in your life? Have you left Him out? Is He number one with you? There's a lot of people this morning that are out there that forgot God. They don't want to think about God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. The story was told the other night about D.O.T.Z. The bottom line was, he wanted to forget God because he had failed God. This morning, God wants you to remember. God wants you, when you deal with Him, when you consider, think about stepping out with a holy God. Going out into eternity. One time in Myrtle, I was praying in Cousin Harlan Sarles' house. And I was praying and I had a vision of Christ. And that vision, He had a banner down like this. And best I remember, everything was pure white and had this banner, and it said the Word of God. Some people want to tear this out. One man said one time, he said, what y'all do is tear all of Paul's writings right out of the Bible. Just tear them all out. Some people want to change this and do this and forget that and flip-flop here and there on the Word of God. But the bottom line is, when you get into eternity, what you're going to meet is Christ, the Word. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to meet Him. You're going to deal with Him. You're going to face Him face to face. So consequently, if you and I are not doing what this Word tells us to do, if we're not living to all the life that we have, we're going to meet that, and He's going to tell you where you failed real quick. Matter of fact, you're going to want to sleep down and hide because you're not going to be able to stand in the presence. You're not even going to want to kneel in the presence. You're going to want to melt in the presence of God because of the holiness, because of the righteousness. And if we don't have on that white robe, if we don't have on the garment of salvation, folks, we're going to be in real trouble when we get there. Listen, we need to have great awe, respect, and reverence for God. For the bottom line is, He's holy, He's righteous, He's godly, and you and I are going to deal with Him one day. You need to consider this. He said, I'm afraid when I think about Him. When I consider, I'm afraid of Him. Oh, today, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We need to consider, where are we going? Where are we at? What will happen to you and I if we keep going the course that we're going? Let's go to Jeremiah 30 and 23. Jeremiah 30 and 23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury. A continuing whirlwind shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until He have done it, and until He have performed the intents of the heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. In the latter days ye shall consider it. There's another scripture here, John, I believe it is the third chapter in the 30. Talks about the wrath of God abideth on him. I thought it was John 3 and 30. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All right, he said, in the latter days ye shall consider it. Like I said, you get down to a point, you're going to look this thing over. I messed up. I didn't do what I ought have done. How many times have you made a mistake and regretted it down the line somewhere? Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about a mistake or a business deal or something that you should have done or not done. And you get on down the line and you look at it, hindsight better than foresight a lot of times, and you look at it and go, ooh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't gone there. I wish I hadn't bought this or sold that or changed that. There have been multitudes of people that's got down after a while and they look at it and they got to considering it and they didn't like what I'd done. It'll happen. It will happen. Lord, help us this morning. It said, for the latter days ye shall consider it. Some people say, oh my, it's too late then. Let's go to Hebrews, the third chapter, and wrap this up. Hebrews 3 and 1. I want to read some encouraging scriptures here at the end. It said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house had more honor than the house. Now then, the 7th chapter of Hebrews, and the 24th verse, 7:24 of Hebrews. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now then, he said here, wherefore, brethren, holy brethren, consider the wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. It's time to consider the one that can do anything you need him to do. If you're to the place where you're shaking your head If you're to the place where you feel like there's no hope, if you're to the place where things are looking darker and darker, it's time to think about somebody that can get you out of that mess. That can help you. That can deliver you. That can bless you. Praise God. There's a number of people out there that are in a place where they all hope is gone. They don't feel like there's anything left. They're so messed up with drink or with drugs. And they're just wiped out all the time. Life is nothing to them anymore. Cleaning a nursing home one time years ago, there was a woman not all that old. And she was in a wheelchair all the time and she was slumped over. She couldn't even raise herself up. She couldn't communicate with you. She couldn't do anything. She just slumped over constantly. And I felt sorry for her. And I asked a nurse, I believe it was. This is before, I believe, HEPA laws come in. And I was able to ask her, or him, whoever it was, I said, "What's wrong with her? Who is she?" If I remember right, she was a school teacher. She got to fooling with drugs. And she took too much. And it messed her up. She wasn't worth anything. She was just about laid over on that like a child's deal, had a kind of a tray there on her wheelchair, and she was just laying over like this. She couldn't smile at you. She couldn't talk to you. Oh, folks, there's multitudes of people like that today. Maybe not quite like that. But there's no hope left. But today I want to bring you hope. There is hope. Consider Jesus. Consider Him. Consider His power. Consider His glory. Consider His working. Consider everything He can do. He can save to the uttermost. He can deliver you from anything. He can bless you, lift you, encourage you, strengthen you, heal you. There's not anything He can't do for you. Consider Jesus, the apostle and the high priest. He's ever liveth to make intercession. Oh, today, to make intercession for a person means to come or to meet a person or any cause, whatever, to intercede, to pray for, to entreat in the behalf of another, to defend or vindicate a person, to furnish any kind of assistance or help. Listen, Jesus is sitting on the throne. He's right there making intercession, saints, for you and I. He's right there working for anybody that approaches the throne of God in prayer. I need salvation. I need sanctification. I need healing. No matter what it is, bless God. He said there, oh, let's see, where's that at in the... Okay, it's in John. It's in 1 John. Here he said there... In 2 and 1, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have an advocate. We have an intercessor. We have a Jesus Christ, the righteous, that's sitting right there by the Father, able to do for us. What do you need this morning? What can He do for you? Ask and reach out and say, "Lord, I need You." It's time to consider thy latter end. It's time to consider where you're going. It's time to consider, where's this going to end me? If you're going the wrong road, it's time to change. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, it's time to change. It's time to suck it up and buck it up and get out of business, folks. It's time to get business for God. It's time to do what He wants you to do. The time's running out. The end of time is very close. We don't have much time left. Your life alone, you may not have much time left. Consider the apostle and high priest, Christ Jesus. Consider Him. Think about Him. Weigh Him out. What do you need this morning? He's making intercession, sitting there waiting just for you to ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. What do you need this morning? What is your need? What's your latter end going to be? Consider thy latter end. Consider where you're going and where you will end at. GPSs can land you in the wrong spot. Do you know that? Yes. Ever had it happen, Brother Michael? They'll take you to a lot of the right places, but there is a chance it can dump you out in the middle somewhere Where you thought you would be, you ain't there. But there's God's perfect sensing that He will bring you to the right end. He will lead you to the right end if you consider Him and say, Lord, I want You to bring me to the desired haven, to the desired glory, to the desired blessing. I want everything You've got, Lord. He'll bring you there. And you won't end up in the wrong spot if you're hooked up with the right GPS, so to speak. Praise God. He's the one that can take you. Now then, are you interested in going? Are you wanting to reach out to that one? This morning, it's time to consider. It's time to think. It's time to get serious. The devil don't want us getting serious. He wants us light and flippant and happy and so forth. But it's time to get serious where you're headed. What's going to happen? Where you will end up. Even if you don't end up lost, the trail you're taking, where will it end you? Where will it end you? That's the main angle of it. But the bottom line is still the Lord wants you to end up where He wants you to. Amen? And if you end up where He wants you to, everything will be better off. But if you end up where you want to, it may not be the best. It may not be the best. That's the reason the Bible and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the saints have taught for years, be led by the Spirit of God. Be led. Are you doing that? Let's stand. Let's have a song. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers this morning.